Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. College sports fans were just starting to adjust to a likely reality of fall without football when hope was dangled before them this week. President Donald Trump placed a phone call to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren to discuss what might expedite the start of the football season. Big Ten games, like those of several other conferences, are in limbo because of COVID-19. Michael Rosenberg is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, and we called him from his location inside the NBA bubble at the happiest place on earth, Disney World's compound in Orlando, Florida. Michael, welcome to Stateside. Can we just take a minute to envision the mood in Big Ten President Kevin Warren's office when the word came down? The president is holding for the commissioner. I mean, what do you think flashed through his head? Should I say I'm out to lunch? Should I say I'm in a staff meeting or doing a Zoom call with Pope Francis? I'm sure that can't be a phone call that any sports executive is excited to take.
I imagine that those calls are kind of like when you have to do the first dance at a wedding that you don't approve of the choice, and you just kind of, well, I'll just get through the dance and be done with it. So, you know, it was obviously... there's a political reason there. We all know where the swing states are. A lot of them are in Big Ten territory. There was no chance, no matter how it was spun or how the news was written, that that phone call was going to change the Big Ten's decision or plans. But it certainly dominated the news cycle for a little while, and the Big Ten's going to go back to doing what they've been doing, which is sort of punting, if you will, down a couple months and see if they can pull off a season starting probably in November at the earliest.
Yeah, President Trump was leading folks to believe he would be, that we might be, in his words, very nicely surprised. Your read on that?
Yeah, he said it was the one-yard line, and a few people said, well, he didn't say which one-yard line. Do you have 1 yard
right
to go or 99 for the Big Ten? Let's be realistic. There was no chance that that phone call was going to be like, hey, I have an idea that you hadn't considered, Kevin Warren, and once I explain it to you, you'll say, wow, that's genius, and start your football season in a week. I mean, there was no chance that they were going to get granular about it or have some sort of revelation about it. They just did it. I mean, Kevin Warren couldn't say no, because then it was he said no. So it was a PR thing. It was a political thing. It really didn't have a lot of effect on any sort of reality within the Big Ten.
What do you think the president gains in trying to get involved in collegiate football schedule?
Well, I mean, look, let's face it. I don't know if you've heard. I believe there is a presidential election this
mm-hmm.
year, as I recall. And it's not just about what you're accomplishing. It is about the perception of what you're trying to accomplish. And if President Trump has created the perception among people who deeply care about this issue that he is pushing to get things open, he is pushing for schools, he is pushing for football to be played, whether the schools are open and football is played almost doesn't matter. What matters is that those who wanted that to happen believe he's on their side. And that's all this really was.
What might have some influence on whether the Big Ten or any of the other conferences taking a pass reverse course?
Well, I think one advantage of saying November, and the Big Ten's obviously gotten a lot of heat from this, but the SEC and the Big 12, some of these leagues are starting soon. I mean, some college football is being played already. If they can pull this off and there are not masses of positive tests, then the Big Ten kind of has a blueprint to go forward with it, with its plan and with its schedule. If the SEC shuts down in early October because there are so many COVID tests on campus, so many cases on campus, and teams can't play, and they just decide it's not safe, then the Big Ten looks smart. So I really think it's going to depend on whether or not other conferences can pull this off.
Mike, you're in Orlando right now, and you have written about Major League Baseball's struggles to get through some kind of season if the restart happens. Are you holding your breath that the demi-season for college football will play out?
You know, it's an interesting question, and I'll tell you the ways in which I am holding my breath. We did a story a couple of weeks ago in which we polled 150 or so medical professionals around the country and basically said, under the current protocols for each league, would you play? And the overwhelming number said they would play in the NHL or NBA, which have a bubble, and they would not play in the NFL or Major League Baseball, which don't have a bubble. And what we realized as reporting that story is that those leagues define success by finishing the season. If there is a Super Bowl and Roger Goodell can hand a trophy to someone, he's going to say this word.
It's a win.
And what the doctors are saying is, That's not how we define success. You don't want anything to do with this virus. And so my concern is not so much whether they finish the season. I'm worried that some 320-pound lineman will get sick and never be the same again or even worse. So that's really my concern more than whether or not they can play the games.
All this is playing out while the NBA has been getting through its playoffs process. I have so many questions about Orlando. First of all, what has the mood been like this past week?
Well, I've mostly seen the mood from my bed, my bathroom, and then the chair in my room, because I'm not allowed to leave for a week except to go get tested every day. But I've talked to a number of people who are here, and, you know, it's weird. I mean, I think people are homesick. I think that the players are having a tougher time than they're probably admitting in most cases. But I also think there's a real respect and admiration for the NBA and the Players Association for pulling this off. I mean, this kind of bubble has never really been tried before, and so far it's working magnificently. So, and the basketball's been good. So it's different. I don't think anyone wants to do it again, but it's certainly been a success so far.
For sure. What is it like having so little control? I mean, for the players, but maybe also for the coaches and the teams, and maybe just for you too.
Well, it's just everything about it just feels so different. I was talking to somebody in the media who said, you know, it's kind of like watching a game on a spaceship, like, except you actually know who those players are. I mean, it's just bizarre. It's very different. And there was an interesting thing that happened in the Oklahoma City Houston series, because I believe that the winner gets to move to the nicer hotel, and then because other teams have cleared out. But if you're a coach, you can't kind of throw that carrot out to your team, because the loser gets to go to an even nicer place, which is out of here. You know, they get to go home. So you don't want to plant that seed at all with your players. It's different. I mean, players are making the best of it. I think they're not going to complain, because they still have it better than most of America, obviously. But also, like most of America, or pretty much all of America, life's not quite as good as it was a year ago, and they've got to adjust to it.
The NBA is getting so much attention also for the way that its players are reacting to Black Lives Matter, in sometimes in very verbal ways and sometimes just in the visual ways, in the case of their jerseys and the messages on the back. Sports have always been as political as the athletes who play them. Why do you think it is that the sports world found itself at the center of American politics in this moment?
Well, there are a few factors. I mean, we just can't discount the rise of President Trump and Trumpism. I think that a lot of things are being said out loud that people were kind of saying quietly before. And to some degree, the current administration is a pushback against Obama being elected. And then a lot of what you're seeing now is a pushback against Trump being elected. But the other part of it, with the pandemic, it's sort of made everybody reevaluate everything. People have time. I mean, we've seen so many protests over issues happening in the country that are not really new issues, but because of what's happened this year, when people have time and they're thinking about it and they're reading the news and they're not socializing and they're not distracted, they're acting. And I think the NBA players are like that too. And once that got momentum, it's not going to stop. And I think if you look at this generation of NBA players, they're different. I mean, they're very used to having power over their own careers, over the league, over their image, over their stories and how they are presented publicly. They are very socially aware. They are very interested in all of that. And so there were so many factors that were sort of ready there or already in play before this happened, and now they're acting, and this means a lot to these guys. I mean, we're always talking about forever, as long as I'm watching sports, whenever somebody succeeds, people say, well, you don't want to forget where you came from. Well, these guys don't forget where they came from. I mean, so when LeBron James says that could be me, what he's saying is, if I were not LeBron James, if you didn't know who I was, that could be me. I could be George Floyd. And I think that's pretty powerful, and hopefully it'll make a difference.
What do you see as the long-term dividends of NBA players, but maybe also college athletes of all stripes, finding their power in this moment?
Well, some of this is going to play out over the next 5 or 10 or 20 years, and we'll have to look back at this year in particular and say, wow, what changed and how did it change? Because it's hard to make sense of it in the moment. I mean, the Mississippi State flag changed because of college athletes. I mean, that is a concrete change that happened. Larger scale changes, you know, for athletes' rights, for collegians, financially, it's hard to say where all this is going. Some of that, again, some of those seeds are already planted, but this is going to be a different world in ways that we don't fully understand yet until we get through it.
Mike Rosenberg is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. You may remember him from his time at the Detroit Free Press as well. Michael, stay safe out there.
Thank you, April.
After the break, the political calculations at work in presidential dealings with African Americans, from George Washington to Donald Trump. That's straight ahead. Stay with us.